Hello, hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. In today's episode, I'm talking to a former client. Candace was a client in my signature program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, a few years ago. And today we're talking about what led her to join the program, her experience in the program, and life after the program. Candace, in this episode, shares why she actually invested in the most expensive career coaching option, my program, how she was able to job search peacefully because of clarity and secure an aligned job with a $20,000 salary increase, and why a group format was much more helpful for her than one-on-one coaching. Y'all, she blew my mind when she said Jesus discipled in groups. I was like, whoa. Let's get into today's episode. Hey, Candace, how are you doing?
I am doing well.
It is seriously so good and exciting to see you. It's been a while. But let's go ahead and start. So we're talking today about life before, during, after Find Your Fulfilling Career. So let's just start from the beginning. Can you, if you can think back to then, it feels like forever ago now.
It does.
But what was life like before you joined Find Your Fulfilling Career? What led you to even look for a career coach and look for the program?
I think one of those things about getting older is realizing the intentionality you have to put around finding things that maybe in school were at your hand really easily at disposal just because you go to your university. Oh, here's a career management center. I have career coaching. I have all these, you know, major companies coming to see who we are. And, you know, there's school activities. So there's all this involvement. Whereas mm-hmm. you get older and realize, oh, I have to seek these things out, especially if I want to continue to grow. And it mm-hmm. might not be something that the current company I'm with is actively pursuing. So by mm-hmm. that, it's not like every company has a career management office or facility or some coach that says, hey, here's how we make you better. That might be outside of what you currently are doing. Mm-hmm. There's not. It's here's your, you know, career plan on how you can come from, you know, entry level up to some VP, but it's the same business line. And that hasn't necessarily been my path with what I wanted to pursue or think about. And so I think having the assistance of coaching, of training, of here's what it's like to be able to bounce this off of someone who mm-hmm. does this, who has the skill set for it, and me not feeling like I have to have all the answers or I should have all the answers now. It's like, oh, now I'm supposed to know exactly what I want to do every step of my career. So it's extending myself grace that I'm not the 90-year-old version of myself who's looking back in hindsight and going, oh, look at all the great things you did. But on the mm-hmm. path, accepting, okay, I need help in this area. And then how do I go out and find that? So one of my mentors was like, hey, I've looked into career coaching and, you know, resume crafting. You should do the same thing. So I kind of, I was part of a program, someone who's connected to you and gave me a few options. And I was like, I felt like your program was the one better suited for what I was looking for. And things went forward from there.
So I heard you say you felt like Find a Fulfilling Career was better suited for what you were looking for. I'm curious, say more about that. What were you looking for?
I was looking for, I didn't know, I think when we first spoke, when we did our mm-hmm. consulting session, I thought I was just looking for help with applying to jobs. Where it's mm-hmm. like, here's how you do it. Here's probably what you're looking for. And in our discussion, it became, let's take a step back. Let's find what you actually want. That's not just what you assume, but it's like, okay, in this space and time that you're going, let's be intentional about planning where you want to go, not just where you assume you should go, what your degree says mm-hmm. or your previous thoughts around it. So that was the part, I think, that our initial consultation that was extremely helpful to go, hey, you're not as far along in this journey as you thought you were. Again, I assumed I should have all these answers. I should know. I just need I need help selecting which company or which culture or which position is fine tuned for me. When it was like, no, take a step back and think about how do you want to spend your days? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you want? The other questions that are just more than how do you go to work every day? It's like right. That's your entire life, not just how you make income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. I heard you say you assume that you should have these answers. And this is something I talk about often where I don't think you're alone in that, where women often feel like, especially women who have been working for any length of time, like, I should know how to do the career stuff. And I often say, well, why should you? Like, who has taught you how mm-hmm. to figure that out to where you assume it's just magical? And so I'm curious, because you're saying, you know, you came to me and you realized I'm not as far along as I thought I was. I actually need to do the step before the job search types mm-hmm. of things. What was that experience like for you to recognize that actually I don't have all the answers I thought I did? I need to take one step back.
Humbling. I think also in learning how to extend yourself grace, that's part of, it's interesting. I come back to constantly the core beliefs and values that we talked about during the course, because it's, no, those things are part of your, we can call it personal branding, core values, the things that are true to you that you're looking for. And part of that is like, how am I extending myself grace and knowing that these things change and accepting that, I think was huge. And again, that's the pressure we put on ourselves of you should just know. And it's, I think I get asked it all the time, like, what do you want to do in life? And I always get tired of the questions. Like, I don't know. And do I tell you that I'm in the process of figuring this out? And so it's like, no, who is the actual person actually having this conversation with? Kind of, it was like, oh, you're the person.
Wow. Another interesting point of people, other people wanting to have this conversation and ask this question. And they're, I think sometimes they have the question, they have the conversation, and there's a tone, maybe not directly, but underlying of judgment that you don't have the answer. And so it's like, this is not going to be a productive conversation if I have it with you. Let me go somewhere where it's going to actually be productive and help me recognize where I'm trying to go.
And a safe place outside of, I mentioned sort of, is this in your current company, the culture that you can openly talk about what's in your best interest and not always the company's the priority or the company is what every, the person you're talking to is loyal to. It's like, no, I need someone who can give me this unbiased, it's not top down approach, but it's like, are you genuinely interested in where I want to go and what my future is, even if it's outside of here? It might be here. But that might mean I can't bring my authentic self to this conversation. So I'm holding something back. And you say that's unfortunate. You think it's unfortunate, but that's people looking out for the company often.
Yeah.
If it's coming from HR or whatever people, resources that are available.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I heard you mention values, beliefs from the program, and that's, you know, we did that in week two. So let's just kind of, let's keep going right there. Tell me more about your time in Find Your Fulfilling Career. What did you find most helpful? What, like, just let's talk about it. I mean, not you, just tell us about your time in FYFC.
I love things that make me think. I am very much an analytical processor person, but I think in looking at, again, reassessing the things you might have thought were true about you that they might have been, but maybe it was the lens you were looking at yourself through that it's time to update it a bit. So one of the assessments, and I asked you about feedback over this a few times, was I get back to, I'm artistic. And it's it's less that I care about looking at and analyzing data and more about, I care about the presentation. I don't need to do the physical work that leads up to this. I want the right answer. I don't like the analytics, even though I'm a deep thinker. And it's, so I've had that thing of like, okay, do I gravitate towards roles that require data and Excel? And it's, can I do the things? Yes. But do I enjoy it? Not like I thought I did. So it's assessing and having someone who's skilled at going, this is what the data is actually saying in terms of what the reports and the things that the assessments we did in the program. Here's what it's actually saying about you. And it's like, oh, okay, this is what I thought about myself. But now it's that pressure's off and you can just believe like, okay, this is good. I don't need to be the person doing the numbers. I can hire someone. I can delegate that part. That's not, it's good skill sets, good stepping stones, but again, it's not where I am in my career right now where I need to actively be pursuing things I don't like. Okay. Except you don't like it. Except that you've gone through and narrowed down these core values where, you know, autonomy is a huge one for me. More fulfillment is huge for me. Oh, okay. Now I can, here's language that I am willing to give someone. Oh, what are you looking for in a career? I'm looking for more fulfillment. I'm looking for these things where, yes, I can think and synthesize information and contribute through thought that doesn't look like I'm analyzing every little thing down to numbers. And in business, often it can come to that where it's, what's your gap analysis? And where did you, it's like, no, I spent time with people, actually talked to them and here's now therefore the result. And yes, I can find things that back that information up, but from the forefront, what is it that I care about? What do I want to be doing and how do I contribute in a role, in a team, be thinking about leading that? So I think a big part of what I got from the program is, yes, let's look at the information. Let's have you tell me what the information is versus me, again, assuming that I can look at this and gather all of it. I don't have every skill set. I don't have every degree like I think I should or might want. Like, no, rely on help. That's part of why I did the program. Take the assistance, take your expertise and go, oh, okay, this is good. There's space throughout the program. Yes, there's a cohort, but also that space just to digest and think about and process and then come back to the table with, okay, here's what I arrived at now. It doesn't need mm-hmm. to be the complete answer for every decade of my career, but right now, here's where I am. And then also that information of, you know, here's how often you should be thinking about changing your career. It doesn't mean you have to go off and get something completely different. But again, going back to roles and things that I think in corporations that are corporations, businesses that are valued is, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, you've been in that same role for 20 years. Nothing is wrong. That, and you're hiring people who, if they spent anything less than 5 years in that role, you don't want to look at their resume twice. Mm-hmm. Not for me. I can tell mm-hmm. you that right now, the thought of is suffocating. And it's like, okay, again, I might not get that from people I'm working around. Here's someone else going, here's what you should actually do. Here's what's recommended and I think will serve you well. And a space, again, where I could bring more of the full self and have that open-ended conversation versus what I kind of mm-hmm. felt like is around me at this stage in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So I heard a few things. So for you, it was one, the clarity of what you were learning about yourself, what it actually means. And actually, you know, as you were saying that, I remember that conversation where you were like, I'm not sure what this artistic means. And I'm like, no, you don't got to be in it. You want to be out. You want the final product. And you were like, oh, yeah. I actually remember that. But I think something you said that really resonated was the idea of the program being a space that was focused on you and allowed you to focus on yourself, as opposed to maybe a company that has ulterior motives and really getting clear about, okay, this is what I'm learning about myself, what it means and how I can use it in my career, as well as not feeling like this choice I'm making has to be for the next 20 years. Because I always tell you, like, every 2 years, something needs to be shifted. Let's reevaluate. And so at the end, then, we were talking about showing up as your authentic self, because you also mentioned I can bring this to the cohort. One thing I've often heard women say is that they want one-on-one support. Like, they just want to work with me one-on-one. And so I heard you say, I can bring my authentic self in this cohort space. I think, I'm wondering, can you speak to that? That idea of one-on-one versus this program that is a group program.
So part of what I will give you my real answer on this, I think part mm-hmm. of, because you cultivate, I can talk about religion here. So mm-hmm. in a term and space of, like, in my company now, they're restarting ERG groups. And I'm like, everyone wants this individual mentorship. It's a thing where it's like Jesus discipled in groups. Mm-hmm. So we see him, yes, in a sense you could say there are a few who were a little bit closer, but the model that's represented is group discipleship. And it's such a smart concept. People want one-on-one, they think everything needs to come. You're not going, here, I'm the great sensei, that everything needs to come from me. It's like, no, like, here's my story of how I'm struggling. I'm also into the fitness world. So mm-hmm. I was doing something, struggling through a workout the other day. And I'm like, oh, I miss struggling with a group. Mm-hmm. And like that CrossFit mentality kind of group setting where can we all, you know, do basically a handstand on the wall. And you know, we're all going to fall off the wall a couple times, but it's like, we're going to laugh and struggle together. Mm-hmm. And then something good and there's camaraderie in it. And it builds something different than just, mm-hmm. it's just you. And I think mm-hmm. the cohort model is smart to do. Everyone's not open to it. I think there's some people who are more reserved coming into mm-hmm. that because you don't know. It's like, do mm-hmm. you tell these people you don't know all your business and then again struggle together? It's like mm-hmm. you've already been struggling and you may have been struggling silently or privately. Mm-hmm. Here is a space where you can hear the collective, oh, it's not just me. Mm-hmm. I think that's important and that's key because we assume the one-on-one. I need this person's undivided attention and they give me feedback on exactly it. You can learn from the people around you. And sometimes you need to create the space to do that really well. And I think that you've done that well. Again, it's, you show up, you don't know if everyone's going to do the assignment. Everyone's going to contribute or speak in the sessions. And it's, again, I think that collective struggle together, reach mm-hmm. a destination together, even leaving yourself open to the possibility that your feedback or response or the I heard you say might not be from me. It might be the person who you're talking to, or it's like, oh, I didn't think to bring up that didn't come up to me when I was going through mm-hmm. the assignment. I needed to hear your response for them or your encouragement mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. Where in the moment I might not have needed that, but it doesn't mean I didn't need to hear it. And I think that's mm-hmm. key as well.
Mm-hmm. Girl, when you said Jesus discipled in group, I wanted to I'm not wearing a shoe, but I wanted to take a shoe and throw it at you. You know? Because I have never thought about that. Like, I am I always talk about how, you know, when you are unhappy at work, I already know that is an isolating experience, mm-hmm. especially when you look around and it can feel like everybody else has it figured out except you. It can make you feel even smaller. And so for me, it's like the group is a place for you to see you're not alone. You're not small. You're not a failure. You're not terrible because you don't have the answers. Look at all these other wonderful, amazing women who also don't have the answers. It doesn't make you small. Like, that's how I've always said it. But when you said Jesus discipled in groups, oh my God.
See, you were onto something.
I have never put that together before. I'm like, oh my gosh, it is so true. It is, you know, I'm about to start using that. You know that, right?
See, take it.
Like, Candace said.
Take it.
But thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course, we skip over that part, I think, when it comes to, again, the individuality and the isolation. And I think being post-COVID, in a sense, where people are still figuring out how they do this, do they want to be around people or not? I think people are needed. And it's, again, something core in me that just community connection drive. But no, I don't want to be isolated from people all of the time and thinking that I'm going to have some fulfilled life. So there are times when people need to force, I think, that connection. Because in the moment, you might not realize it's for your benefit.
Wow. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. So then let's talk about life after the program. I know. So you went on the job search, you secured a job. And one thing I always tell people, I'm like, the average job search takes 3 to 6 months. And I think when I say that, people don't believe me. Like, they think, no, I want a job yesterday. And I'm like, I've been doing this for a while. Trust me, it takes time. And so your job search is one that I think it took about 4 to 5 months before you actually landed on that role. So tell us a bit about that journey of what did you get from FYFC and how did that help you navigate this job search period that actually took a straight? It didn't happen in 1 week.
It didn't happen overnight. Right. I think when you're in it, it's like, where's the off ramp? I need to get to the off ramp as soon as possible because I need to be out of the thing that I'm in. And it's, again, that's where it comes back. Nope, take time. Here's the realistic number that it could take you a year. It's just, here's an actual number to ballpark it for people. And we started the program, waited for the cohort to start. And then you go through the program. Around sort of the end of it, I got laid off. But the thing is, it was right before a layoff that I actually got positioned for a different role. But because I'd already gone through the steps of, here's what I'm actually looking for. Here's what I'm not going to settle for. Here's how you reach out to somebody on LinkedIn who you don't know and just randomly ask them about what they do every day. I took that into, someone wanted me to get into the DEI space for the work that I'm the only one who they kind of could ask. There's one of a few. And that's saying, working in the construction industry, there's not a lot of people who look like me. So I get asked, and then I give this basically full report back on almost like an interview. And then slowly, I'm not saying it was connected with why I was laid off, but they're still didn't really take this route, get laid off. And I learned what a severance package was in real life. I was like, oh, you're going to pay me not to come back to a job I don't want to come to every day. This is, I get paid the same rate to not come back. This is a wonderful. But the thing is, because I'd already started the process and I was a few months into that 3 to 6, I had peace about it. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this time off. The week after my layoff, I was starting this 4-month-long development program that was here in Columbus, Ohio, where we met every week. So I still had the people engagement and still kind of thought process on, you know, connection and what am I doing, being connected to the city. And I'm like, about 2 months in, I'm like, okay, I should actually get back to looking for a job. And I did. So I started applying for things that I fit the skill set for in terms of like a reach, but the other things that I you could clearly see my resume that I could do. And so one of those, I looked at a company where I was, in a sense, trying to get out of safety, but not really, still like in the construction build environment world. And I'm like, I can't not apply to something with safety in the title. So I ended up doing that and got the best kind of traction there. And it's funny, it's one of those things where you accept a role, go through the process, and then go, the things that I wanted, this checks off. Not just in terms of a pay change but it's like the autonomy or the travel and that I wanted. Like I say all the time, I don't need to be in Columbus. I didn't want to move, which was important to me, but I did want to start traveling. And so now I have a role where my territory is America. for the most part. Mm-hmm. So I could be, I'm like, they're going to pay for me to travel the country. Well, and so I get to grow in skill set. And now I work for a global company where I'm on the most diverse team I've ever been on. Mm. I don't necessarily deal with people in, you know, India every day or Ireland or, you know, but I'm getting the exposure that I wanted. And it didn't show up necessarily in the, I didn't know what it would be until I accepted it and got immersed in this new world. It's, I work for one of those companies now where it's like, oh, their products are everywhere, but I wouldn't have known the name or recognized the name before. And it's like, huh, you, a company that makes, helps make our work, our world go, but I wouldn't have picked it, but it lines up with what I was looking for. And it's also this kind of really good way. So it's, I say that in terms of like a next step, what I was looking for, not the end all be all, but in a, yes, I'm out of what I was in. I'm not just existing through my days, and it was the right fit for now. Mm-hmm. But I know that because we crafted the language around it. And it wasn't just, I remember our consultation kind of session. It was like, how do you know what you're looking for if you haven't like defined it, essentially? It's like, I was like, oh, no one I know. You're like, no, you don't. You will not just, it's not how this works. And I was like,
I actually remember
when
that.
When do we start? When do we start? Got it.
Do you know you, I, what you said, I just remembered. I remember you saying, yes. And I'm like, wait, what are you looking for? You don't know what you're looking for. So what do you mean by you want to look for something?
What I knew, because again, you're a simp, I should know. No, you don't. Got it.
Oh, that's hilarious. And so it's, you know, I remember you when I started, you saying people would ask, or you even would think what's next, and you didn't have the language. And then you saying post the program, we had crafted that language. You knew what you were looking for. And I'm curious, in an emotional sense, what is that? If you contrast both experiences of, I didn't have the language, and now here's exactly what I'm looking for. I don't know what company it's going to be, but I have the language. Emotionally, what was those, what were those experiences like for you?
I think in terms of, this is where people help. Feedback. So I mentioned that 4 month long program I was part of during the kind of break. Mm-hmm. And from, I've been laid off years prior. And so the me from that to this me who was sitting in that layoff, you know, last February, I had a peace. And these people who were meeting me, who I'm spending every kind of week to week basis, you know, meeting up, they're looking at me like, you're not stressed out about job searching? And I'm like, I am not. I've done the work. I can rest in knowing I invested in the program. I walked through the steps. I knew what I was looking for in a sense. And it was just, I think it came down to timing. So like the role I ended up getting, they had, it was like one of those reposted from 3 weeks ago. So once I got to the other side, it was like, oh yeah, we had an offer out to someone. He ended up, these things happened. And then we had to repost the job. And it was like, I could have been stressed and anxious while they offered, it wasn't even ready yet.
Because God be gotten.
And to let it come down to just, there is no reason for you to be stressed out this time. Like, I think that's the thing about developing a history with God and a history of maturity, growing, of, again, I can rest in knowing that I did the work, but also I can only do what I can do. But did I do my part to the fullest of what I felt like my, what was my ability? I could answer yes to that. So I think the feelings and the emotions, I was settled and at a peace around the job searching that I'm like, this is going to be good. And I think that's a thing of, I know you have like an affirmation and cards and the things of just, what is the language I'm telling myself? This is good. This is part of the journey. I told my former boss, and we never really talk about it in terms of religious side of things, but I'm like, I was praying for a quick pivot and then I got laid off 2 weeks later. And I was smiling about it. I mean, not in the moment. It's still kind of one of those when he walks into the room and it's like, hey, and it's, but I didn't panic. I mean, it's not the best feeling in the world in the moment, but I was like, no, this is good. I don't know what it's going to turn into yet, but I'm embracing it and I'm not going to stress out every day of my life about it.
Wow. So good. So good. And so you said, so this role is the thing for now, right? Which, and that's what I tell y'all, we don't make lifetime career decisions. But as you think future, like, let's just say the next 2 years, you wake up and you're like, you know what? I'm ready for something else. I don't want to do this no more. How, if maybe, how do you think if it has finding a fulfilling career might come into play the next time you're ready to do something else?
You gave us a plan. I have my notebook, all my things of like, here's how you go back and can reassess. 2 years from now, your priorities are different. how you want to spend your day might be different. People ask me all the time that I'm traveling. Are you tired? I'm like, no, I'm not tired. There are days I wanted to be somewhere and I was sitting at home laid off. I am delighted to be on this plane sitting on the tarmac for 2 hours. I am delighted because I'm going to some new place and I get to explore. So it's, here's how you go back and go, here are my values for now. Again, the things that it's here now, not forever. It gave us a blueprint for it. And that's the part that I think part of coming back to, yes, she was a resource, but also just the, here's the approach I want to take towards something like this. And knowing by the time those 2 years get here, I should be going through these steps because I'm not staying here. I'm not doing the 20 years in the one role thing. That's not my desire. And I think that that is language we can sometimes not want to use. Like, it's like, no, what do I actually want? And do I, what I was looking at a picture of, this might sound random, but looking at a picture of Willow Smith the other day, something that came up. And I think about, because I was at the business school here at my Ohio State for an event, this women's leadership symposium last Friday. And I'm listening to people who were like accountants and all these people will kind of speak. And I'm like, well, I have a business degree. Yeah, I told you about the numbers thing. I thought I wanted to do accounting and finance. So glad I didn't. But I look at Willow Smith, I look at basically she was performing on a stage and I'm like, her desire when she grew up was not to become an accountant. She had the freedom and mobility to be raised in a Smith home, whatever positives or negatives that come with that. There was a freedom of choice that came from knowing you were secure with whatever decisions you made. And there's that, you have this fear of like, oh, if I mess up or failure or the risk of trying something new. It's like, if I tried a new job or a new, and it didn't work out, guess what? I don't have to stay. You'll find the role, the people, the things that are for you. And I think that requires some intentionality sometimes. So for me to take a step back and be reminded that, oh, is this thought just around money? Is that the reason that I'm making that decision? Is that what I want 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? How do I set up the 5 year for me now self? It might look like I'm developing this skill set or taking this course now so that those things are progressed and matured in me, but not letting it be solely a financial decision while I'm risk averse.
And speaking of finance, a lot of women, I think, don't exactly what you said. They don't make that choice or they don't make the move because they're worried about a pay cut. They're like, I don't want my salary to go down. And I'm curious, you don't have to share numbers, but did you have to take a pay cut when you made your transition?
I'm 20K higher. Mm-hmm. And that was the initial offer. Worth it. I only from the severance package, I mean, I ended up having a family vacation. So I was maybe a month of not having an actual income. It worked out. And now most of my expenses are covered. And if I'm not here using my own gas, when I'm traveling, they pay for the food. Like it just
worked out.
It just worked out. Yeah, it worked out.
I love that you just said, I am not stuck, because I think that's a common feeling on the back end, like before the program, is that feeling of stuck. And so to hear you say, I am not stuck. Wow, that is powerful.
But those are the things, again, what the language I'm telling myself, that's what would come back to me all the time when I felt like I'm trapped. Since you were not stuck. Okay. And so, but it's coming out of me because that's years of feeding that to me when I was in a role I didn't want to be in. And it's, yes, it's very important to have those, I don't say just mantras, but those things that I could get stuck into the trap of feeling like my former self didn't do enough. And it's like, nope, I will physically clap for my former self. It sounds kind of, but it's like just to get me out of that mindset of like, oh, you should have made this, or you should have known all the shoulds
that we talk about.
Again, it's not everything. It is not perfect, but my mindset around it, I now have years of like choosing the positive, of using the gratitude, even if it was the days where it was just one foot in front of the other, were grueling. And I would not want to go back to, but you know, in life, like life can be cyclical. But as you mentioned, like the 2 years from now, I'm better equipped. And that was, what tools do I have at my disposal? They're there and growing. And my skill in them is continuing to be sharpened.
Yeah. So great that you mentioned mindset, because that's what we do in the very first week of the program, right? We're looking at beliefs, we're looking at mindset. And I think sometimes people hear that and they want to brush it off. Like, this is not, tell me how to do the resume. Like, I don't want to talk about my brain, my mind, my thoughts, my beliefs. When I'm hearing you say that, those beliefs were sort of, they were impacting your behavior beforehand. Yeah. Wow.
I think those things are huge in terms of things that I'm choosing to think more about how we think about things, how we think about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, man, like, no, that's your trauma talking. Mm-hmm. And people don't know that. It's like, no, your 5-year-old self who was scared and should have been loved and supported, this is where you picked up your perfectionism. Like, this is where you picked up the control and the, and it's, oh no, your beliefs matter. The stories you tell yourself, that record that you're playing, it matters so much in how we shape our lives. And again, what risks we're choosing to take, who we choose to listen to and take the influence of.
Mm-hmm.
Massive.
Yeah. Wow. Such a good conversation. Thank you. Okay. So last question that I have, well, the woman who's listening, right? There's somebody listening that's going to be listening to this and she's on the verge of, should I apply to join the program or not? Like, even just that first step of applying, what would you say to her?
I think a lot of things come down to, what are you willing to invest in? Because at the end of the day, it's an investment in yourself. It's a financial investment. This is not something just that, like I told you, I had a couple options when it came to picking a person. I went with the more expensive one, which was you. But in the space in life where these are things that I do, like, I choose to invest in someone else's skill set and accept, oh, I don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And if that person is in the space in life where they're like, hey, I need help, this is the person who I think can truly help me, why not? Mm-hmm. I think I choose not to live in regret. And I think part of that comes with, there are some decisions I was taught have a quick no and a slow yes. Mm. There's some stuff you need a decision today. My answer is no. Mm. Some stuff I need time to process it and think it through and do the, you know, the positives and the negatives. But other times it's okay. I've processed it. I've accepted this is what I want to do now. And the 5 years from me would have accepted, like, I want that investment to grow.
Mm.
And I see that it happened here. I could still be sitting here struggling, figuring out what kind of role I like. Why? No. Just some stuff. I think some people need to be, just take the dive and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I deeply value being coached and advised by people that I trust. I don't just take something because someone handed it to me. If I don't trust the source, I'm not going to move forward with that. But I trust that you as a knowledgeable source with a program that was deeply well thought out with assessments that I hadn't seen before, which is also sometimes it's like, I can't take StrengthsFinders one more time. I can't. And I have a leadership studies minor. So I took all the assessments and you came with something I had never done. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that was also key and important to me. Like there's all these resources that I don't spend the time thinking about every day, or I'm not exposed to, because this is just something I need to think about when I'm kind of changing careers. It's not something that I am actively looking to do every day. When you're like, hey, I want to impact women's lives who are feeling stuck. Like, that's huge that you took this on to become an expert in it and then want to journey people through their journey. Like, this is, I think, clearly you realize how important this is, but it's like, this is someone's life. Like, it's not just something that's low stakes. Like, no, this is your life. This is your income. This impacts your family. This impacts in generations. And I think that care is important. And it's like, no, like, you could be doing other things. This is in service.
I sure could. I could be a housewife.
But you legitimately changed. You're like, hey, because you wanted to be fulfilled. And you found that in helping other people be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Oh, sign up today.
Oh, yeah. Candace said it. I didn't. She said, sign up today.
And I am not one of people who will like overly endorse people, but I approve.
Oh, thank you so much. Wow. This was such a great conversation, Candace. Thank you so much. And it was great seeing you again.
Seeing you as well.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you found Candace's story helpful and insightful. If you are a woman who has been feeling bored, unmotivated, disengaged, and unhappy in your current job, but you've also felt stuck because you have no idea what else you can do, you're worried about taking a pay cut in a new career, you're worried that a transition is going to ruin everything you've built in your career so far, or maybe you've just changed jobs multiple times and you're worried that yet another career change will make you look flaky or feel like a failure, then my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, is for you. FYFC is my signature coaching program where women who have been unhappy at work but have felt stuck because they had no idea what else they could do have gotten clarity about their fulfilling career path ads and secured aligned jobs with five-figure salary increases. This program was created to help you rediscover yourself and use information about who you are to clarify which career paths will make you the most energized and motivated in your career. In FYFC, you'll learn a proven and repeatable process for making aligned career decisions throughout your career. You can go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com to learn more about FYFC and to either submit your application, join the live lunch event, or join the waitlist. Depending on when you're listening to this episode, you will know what next steps to take. But go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com. That link is also in the podcast episode description. So on whatever platform you're listening to, just scroll down to the description. You can tap the link to learn more about FYFC, to submit your application if we're open for enrollment. And if you have questions, you can always DM me on Instagram at hercareerdoctor. Thank you again for listening to today's episode, and I will catch you in the next episode.